So, continuing on in our study in Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to finish up that chapter today. We'll pick up in verse 9 and go to verse 13. And then I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. From verse 14 on to chapter 7, verse 1. I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Funny how we keep going back there, huh? Colossians chapter 3. This is kind of like I'm giving y'all a two for today, right? Wow. Awesome of me, huh? Keep preaching, brother. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 27. And then John chapter 8, verses 12 through 59. So, we're going to first talk about the problem. But there's another side to this. There's our call as the church and what God has called us to. And we shouldn't be doing more than what He's called us to. And then we're going to look at Jesus and what He said when He faced the religious of His day. And I'm doing this to a point because we have denominations today, like I talked about last week, that have homosexual priests. There is a softening, even in the Southern Baptist Convention itself, to take away from Scripture, to take away from the weight of Scripture. Why? Because numbers and money, filthy lucre. That gets on my nerves. But there's a way, there's a right way to worship God. We're commanded to worship God in a very specific way. And what happens is when we bring the world in, when we okay sin, we're crafting an idol. We're mixing the world with what God says, and we make Him for the world more palatable. Trust me. Jesus was not worried about being palatable. Shall we speak to the times that He cleansed the temple? That He sat there and watched them defiling the temple of God, braided a cord of whips and drove them out? Or how about the time that He faced the Pharisees and called them whitewashed tombs, full of dead man bones? On the outside you look clean, but the rot of death is on the inside. See, Christ is concerned, God is concerned about the holiness of His church. And we can't mix God's holiness with the world's filthiness. And we can't justify the world's filthiness by what the Word of the Lord says. In fact, if you do that, what does the Bible say? You're cursed. You don't add to the Word of God. So, we talked of a very specific situation last week in the first part of chapter 5, that they let this situation just be amongst them and not address it. They all knew about it. We talked about that at length. But Paul was not only calling out that particular situation, You got to understand what was going around in the larger Roman Empire. You can go from church to church to church to church where Paul was written these epistles. Every one of those towns had an occult practice. They worshiped many gods, many false gods. There's a lot of sexual immorality in that day, a lot of sex trafficking in that day. Paul here is saying, no, I don't care what they do out there. And me being in Christ, I can't judge out there, but I can judge here. And it's our responsibility. We just have to not be in the situation that Jesus talked about with the log and the speck. So, continuing on, in verse 9, he says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. This is interesting to me. I was studying commentaries on just this one verse. So much to say. So many theologians spoke about it. It puts the point that he's written to him before. Right? We don't have the letter. We don't know. We have what God gave us. But this is not something new. Right? He's coming back and hammering home. I've already talked to you about this. You know what the word of the Lord says. Why are you letting it continue? Why? So, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy, or and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality, or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Think he's a little bit serious about holiness? Now, this, what he's saying there in verse 11 would mean somebody that's a false professor, right? Someone that says, I'm a Christian with his mouth, but his life bears no marks of walking with the Lord. And believe me, when you walk with the Lord, you're going to bear marks. Some of them are painful. Some of them will scar you. But the Lord loveth whom he corrects. Or he corrects whom he loves. Right? And this is what Paul's doing as a shepherd. Correcting the ills of the Corinthian church. So let's continue. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. And I had to wrap my head around that. Because there's those that have been here and that I miss. I can't back away from what the word of the Lord says. And for it, it, it's it's in the, those times like that when I'm hit with a scripture, and it, and I go to the script to James, and he says, it not many of you ought to become teachers. Just be judged with a strict judgment. And think of the weight of that. May you come back here. Paul, faithful as Paul is, going at length, two letters, to address sin. Not out there sin. Sin in the church that we can't let abide. And then I thought about some of the churches I went to growing up, and the church hurt that I suffered at the hands of people that call themselves Christian. And I come back and I read these scriptures. Are we fooled? Fooling ourselves? Are we here to play a part? Are we here to be the church? I would posit we're here to be the church. I'm not here to play. Read through this passage and the world's going to tell you that is very unloving. That's very narrow-minded. That's very bigoted. No. And this is the one thing that confuses me most. Sexually immoral people. Greedy. I don't have to name names. We all know the names. Idolaters, revilers, drunkards, swindlers. I don't have to name names. We know we can turn on any Christian broadcasting network right now and find those. Scripture, and where is the love and where is the grace? And you have to think. It's the critical thinking skills, right? We talked about earlier. They had been given the truth, and they deliberately chose to mishandle the truth. Go back and read Romans 1. This is not just a problem in Corinth. There's a problem in Rome. Thessalonica. Corinth. Ephesus. Philippi. Colossae. It's not new. Another argument today is come up with the times, man. Modernize. You the foolishest, stupidest person on the planet because you think something has changed. Evil men have always been evil men. Always. Go all the way back to Cain and Abel. Nothing's changed. Just had an exponential growth in human pride. And what does the Bible tell us? Pride cometh before the fall. Why Jesus emphasized humility. But I need you to understand what biblical humility is. It's not a disregard for the truth. It's one that holds on to the truth. And knows, if not but for the grace of God, I don't even have the truth. We have millions and millions and millions of dollars funding pseudoscience, not in this, just in this nation, but across the globe. What? To try to make this invalid. How many hungry do we have? How many homeless do we have? I'm positive this. What noble politician is there? I'm being serious. What got me, what really flipped my lid on all of this, was the first time that they perverted God's promise and lit the White House in the rainbow colors. It set me off. Do I want to save it? No. No. I'll spend the rest of my life calling it out. We need to stop looking to their solutions for the problem that we have. Their problem is hearts without God, darkness, perversion. But that's outside of this. God's already got that. Got that well in hand. I need not worry. I serve a thrice holy God. That when I couldn't get out of my own way, made a way. What does he charge me with? Go therefore and preach the gospel. If you love me, obey my commandments. And it's going to hurt because they hated me. They're going to hate you too. And there's going to come a time where there's brother against brother, father against son, mother against daughter. Can I say this? I think that time's already here. As we've been learning in our Bible study, this is Paul marking out the authority of the church. Why we're to purge sin from us. We're not to look like the rest of the world. At all. We're the peculiar ones. Our home is not here. We're strangers and sojourners in this land. We're just passing through. So why would evil want to cling to us? Want to cling to us? Why you want to pervert something that you don't believe in? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why. Anybody he can take along with him, he's going to take with him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 14. To not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? None. Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? You don't. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How do you expect the blessing of God over your worship time and your study and your building of the church when you mix it with unholiness? You can't. How can you experience God in your life if you don't put out the sin? I think I'm raising good questions here. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Your next breath is a gift. Your next heartbeat is a gift. Do you understand those things? God is sovereign over this universe. Every moment a gift. What we tend to do is waste those moments because we're sinful and selfish. But if, you know, it was interesting in building up to delivering this today that I come here in 2 Corinthians, and I wasn't planning on getting here yet, but it's all right here. And what have we been talking about for the last, 3.5 years? Holiness, holiness, holiness. You love him? Do you love him? Go and sin no more. Pick you up, clean you up. And you don't have a thankful heart for that? I can give you history of a very, very confused young man. I was talking about this with Obama last night. It was amazing. I look back on my life and you couldn't piece that together. And I don't think the best writer in the world could have pieced that together to find me here. But God, his purpose, not my purpose, his purpose. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper with the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No inheritance. It's insanity. What's going on in churches nowadays? Or what passes for a church these days? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. You know what that means, Christian? Open your mouth and speak the word of God. It's not just for the pastor. It's for everyone that claims Christ. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Be careful how you walk, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. This is Paul. Way back when. You think it's improved? And this is a testimony of the church, surrounded in all sides, on all sides by evil. But we are the light. We don't walk according to the world's foolishness. We're separated from that. We find no amusement in perversion. We find no amusement in the twisting up of the four-letter word love. Just love, man. You have no idea. You're confusing love with lust. And there's a complete difference. Love is not sex. Turn with me to Colossians 3. So, what do we do with all this information? Here we go. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming.
Oh man, what are they saying in Ephesians? Is the story changing?
Nope. God does not change. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We're not to speak lies. We're surrounded by lies. You, Christian, speak truth. White lies need to go. Because somehow we think just putting that little term on it makes it sort of okay. We need to understand that the same wrath that God has for sexually immoral is the same wrath he has for the liar. There will be no difference in how that is meted out. We're to speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. And in here speaks to another bit of confusion that's going on with our church, because our churches across the United States right now, because we seem to think we can divide up. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. No difference. No difference. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now here's the stretch for you, Christian. We're in the world, but not of the world, right? We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. How do you face sin? Oh, I think I just sinned right here. You don't cure hate by hate. Many problems that Martin Luther King Jr. had, that wasn't one of them. Yeah, he said a lot of truth in his time. Hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that, right? You can't show Christ and showing hatred for the lost. You cannot do it. It doesn't marry up. We're to have compassion. We're to put on compassionate hearts. We're to be kind. We'll be humble, we'll be meek and patient, just as our Lord Jesus Christ was humble, meek, compassionate, and patient. I didn't say it was going to be easy. We have to speak light into this present darkness. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Not when you feel like it. You also must forgive. That is a hard lesson. Anybody that knows any little bit of my life story, that confirmed to me even more how much God loves us. Getting to that point when someone that wants my harm you're able to forgive. I'm not saying that it rights the situation, because 9 times out of 10, that forgiveness wasn't for them. It was for you. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Not for your fame, not for my fame, but for Jesus Christ. So, with that, how am I doing on time? You know?
You said 36 minutes.
Okay. All right. So, let's jump to Ezekiel chapter 3. We'll start in verse 17 and go through verse 27. But I was studying this week, and I don't know how it came up. Maybe it was a verse of the day or something. But 3:18 just hit me and stopped me in my tracks, and I had to start thinking very hard about things, or how this was. The tension I felt in my own soul, how God works through all that. So starting in verse 17, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I'll require of your hand. Uh-oh. So I can't shut up. Thank the Lord. Really? Don't shut up, church. The problems we're facing right now is because the church shut up. And they've shut up for a long, long time. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. So what if they won't hear me? Doesn't matter. What if they hate me? Doesn't matter. What if they try to stone me? Ask Stephen. Ask Paul. Ask Peter. Ask the disciples. Ask much of the early church. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require of your hands. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. Oh,
seems here we need to contend for the holiness of the church, right? That God in the Old Testament didn't change to the God of the New Testament. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose and went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I had seen by the Chebar Canal, and I fell on my face. But the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself within your house. And you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you, and you shall be bound with them, so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, you will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who will hear, let him hear. And he will who will refuse to hear, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. We're not built to go past what the Lord says. I was listening to a clip earlier this week by Paul Washer, and he said a lot of damage has been done by street preachers that hold up the signs, the hateful rhetoric on the signs. You're not going to win people to Christ with hate. There's a possibility the Lord moves when you move in love, as it said in Colossians chapter 3. It's a possibility. Not everyone's going to hear us. We should not add to what the word of the Lord says. That's why you need to know your Bible. So it's interesting. This is mirrored. This is kind of forward pointing to Christ as well. This chapter, this portion of chapter 3. You want to see something cool? Turn with me to John chapter 8. And I'm going to let the text speak for itself, because nothing needs to be added there. I'm pretty sure you'll get the point. Now, this is right after the woman caught in adultery, right? They were getting ready to stone her. Crowds gathered. Getting ready to stone her. He says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They got angry. Dropped their rocks. Then, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. It is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Think you can stay the hand of the Lord? So he said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. You think we can separate the Godhead? We don't have Old Testament God and then fancy hippie Jesus. They're one and the same. It says, I and the Father are one. Perfect union. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Came to do what we could not do for ourselves, which was uphold the law of God, not transgress it at all. Us in our own power try very hard to do good things. In the end, it doesn't work out because we have a sin nature. He did not. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Abide in his word. What does that mean? Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Not give intellectual assent to it. Live it. Love it. Trust it. Breathe it. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Freedom is found in Christ. And that's what an unbelieving world finds so unbelievable. But in Christ there is freedom. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. Can you feel the tension? But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did. They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. What do you not understand? Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." Here's how you see that manifested. You start sharing the word of God. Now, look. You start sharing the word of God with someone who is lost. They can't bear to hear it. Nobody wants to be shown themselves. I'm talking about us as well. We don't like to be shown ourselves. We think we got it all dressed up nice, neat, and together. We don't. We're a wreck. Without the Holy Spirit, we could accomplish nothing. This is how you know whether one believes or not believes. They can't bear to hear the word of God spoken aloud. It irritates their soul. The truth of God's word irritates their soul. What do you do with that? You continue to share it anyway. You love them. And you pray for them, just as Christ commanded. Pray for your enemies. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Guess what? What are we talking about? Surrounded by lies. If we let the lies into the church, are we the church? When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. They're talking to the religious folk of his day. Straight up, standing toe to toe. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Well, first attack of the defeated man, call him a name. Because they know the truth. They suppress the truth. What does the Bible say? They know God exists. They suppress it so they can feel justified in doing exactly what they want. Jesus answered, "I did not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I did not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." All right, what do we talk about? God's got the outside, right? God's got the outside. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, and whom you say, of whom you say, he is our God.
but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Mocking, right? Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Before Abraham was, I am. The beauty of that passage, and then go read John 1 again. Feel that sin infects the church because we don't have a right view of who our God is. For decades of my life, it wasn't taught to me. We went to church. It became just what we did. Dealing in emotions. I come from a varied background as far as denominations. Having someone tell a young man, if he can't babble, well then I guess you're just not holy enough. These are the things. This is why God's name is cursed. You can't even tell the truth. Lazy Bible reading. Lazy Bible reading. When it says tongue in the Bible, it meant known language. We have to contend for the truth. Can't let the scriptures be added to. We're to challenge one another. We're to exhort one another to good works, right? This is not automatically being the hammer anytime someone comes into the church. That's not showing love and grace and humility. But what you can't have, and what Jesus is even pointing it out in that passage. And just because you say it doesn't make it so. Your life doesn't bear it out. See, that's the thing about faith that most people confuse. It's not just here. It's here, here, and here. Can't call it faith if you don't live by it. Where's the courage of your convictions? We're just getting into it. We've been in Corinthians. This is week number 12. I'm in chapter 5. I didn't realize how much of a daunting task this would be. But if I try to blow through it, I won't be faithful to what I'm supposed to do. fact, I think when we blow through the scriptures like that, even in our own study time, we're robbing ourselves of so much richness. What I say in closing out just this on chapter 5 itself is that God had a design. God designed this world. And sin came into the world. There is, as it says in the book of Romans, the earth groans underneath the weight of man's sin. The creation groans underneath the weight of man's sin. You know, there's actual arguments for some of the sexual immorality that's going on. He says, well, it happens in nature. And then I go back to Romans 1. Earth groans underneath the weight of man's sin. And we're to be different. The Bible tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Don't even look it. I can't wrap my head around that. We're not. I think we're trying to make sense of things we're not supposed to be making sense out of. Really. I think we exhaust too much time in worldly pursuit than we do spiritual. I've learned more sitting at my table just given devoted time in prayer and scripture and reading the men of old, those guys that didn't back down an inch. And I mourn. I mourn for those days. It's not saying that saying what the Bible says is evil all the way back, starting from the beginning, has changed. Sin is still sin. The Bible tells us, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. Woe to you. And our whole sensory system is bombarded by that very thing day after day after day after day. So, what do we do, Christians? We speak the truth to it. We don't even try to be participating with it. We contend for personal holiness and the holiness of the church. This is not about perfection, people. We see perfection in the end. We're going to get things wrong. There's grace for that. There's love. There's real godly love for that. What we can't do is let the world dictate to us what is right and what is wrong when we've been given it. You know, we know that we know there's a God out there, right? Because when we do something bad, our sin in this world, I had to think back. I sit there thinking back, how did I know what I've done was evil when I lied to my parents, when I snuck off into, why did my spirit grieve me?
can play fast and loose with his word now?
No.
Anything that would defile the church, we have to be on point for. We speak to it. We try restoration. But in the end, we can't continue on this path. There has to be a turnaround. There's no place for this in the church. Yet, the American church is filled with it. In fact, there's some here that have had to deal with it. In a very real sense. From immorality to people saying they're Christians and living a life that does not add up to it. Is not even worthy of the name living a life that way. It can't be that way. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as we covered, what once was darkness, once the light is shed upon it, it's light. This is tense times for us. Which is all the more the reason why we're to be in prayer, studying the scriptures. What does the Bible say? Thy word I've hid in my heart. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We call it to purity. And we can't let the lies of this world twist us up in that path, walking the path of righteousness. Just can't. It's no longer playtime. Lord, we thank you for the clear instruction of your word. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit rest with each and every one here today. Lord, let the words that have been spoken, the scripture that has been spoken, Lord, be planted in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we all leave here today walking a little different. Lord, you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind. We rest in that promise. And we speak, give us the courage to speak your truth into a world of darkness. Let us go do the hard work of the gospel, forgiving where we need to forgive, whether it's accepted or not, and loving the unlovable. Because we know at one time in our lives, we were the unlovable. Let us be marked by your grace and your truth in all that we do. And these things we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.